You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a discussion with industry leaders about how they persevere in uncertain times. Now, here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times. It's great to have you listening along because we have one of the, I'll say the healthcare rock stars in the state of Kansas, and that is Dr. Lee Norman, who's the Kansas Department of Health Secretary, and he has probably been, maybe next to Governor Kelly, the most busy person in Topeka. Good to have you on the call with us, Dr. Norman.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being here.
Busy, is that an understatement? I mean, how do you get everything done with all the things coming in dealing with COVID and the state of Kansas?
Well, I don't get everything done. I try to make sure, though, that the really critical things get attended to. But I'll tell you that one of the things I've been blessed with and is a really great staff from top to bottom in all three of the divisions. Obviously, health division is lead in this pandemic. But we've had just such a great troopers. Incident Command has hummed along. We've worked with other state agencies well. So this has not been entirely on my shoulders. The troops have really risen to the occasion.
You know, you talk about pandemics and certainly not something any of us have trained for, whether it be on the business side or on the side of dealing with it from the state of Kansas. But when you look at that, our program talks about Forward Ever, looking forward, but leading in challenging times. And what have been the biggest challenges that you've faced in your job as Secretary of the Kansas Health Department?
Well, certainly during this pandemic, a couple things have been the biggest challenges, really. One is that even though we stood up Incident Command and really got on this as an agency very quickly, there's been so much counter information and misinformation put out there. Social media has not been our friend in this manner, that we spend half our time defending the data, defending our actions, and at a time when we could much better put our energies towards containment of this disease. So I think that probably more than anything. Secondly, I would say, and especially this year with a presidential election and with all of our state representatives and senators running for office, it's an unfavorable brew of politics and pandemics, and those two things just don't go very well together.
Well, yeah, I know there's several things that you guys do a terrific job on your website of outlining coronavirus information, but you mentioned social media and a part of that, the misinformation that gets out of there. What do you recommend for people that are listening to this saying, where do you go to get the correct information? Obviously, your website is one of those, but how do you sort what's real and what's not?
Right. Great question. A couple things, and I'll even give a preamble. This is a novel coronavirus, and we've never seen anything like it. We've seen other coronaviruses that are anything from very severe to just causing a mild cold. But people have wanted constancy of message, and yet the message is changing over time. You know, there's been some shifting a little bit on thinking about masks. And how infectious is it? How lethal is it? So if I had to infuse a thought into people's minds, it would be, we have to roll with the punches because it's going to change. So then we with that in mind, then one of the things that we try to do is working with the CDC, other federal partners, state partners, have the best quality information. Our website and the KDHE website has what we call our COVID-19 microsite, which is just a vast treasure trove of information, both data, even down to the county level, but then all sorts of guidance for, you know, schools and for sports and quarantining and self-management, those kind of things. So I really think that people can hang their hat on our information, understanding that we've had to adjust as time has gone on because new information is coming up all the time.
I'm thinking about that. You know, you mentioned the politics. Does politics play into any of that information that you're putting on your website?
No, I don't think so at all. Actually, it's data. Now, there's anytime you graph something, you can lend clarity or confusion by how you choose to graph data out, but it is not tainted by politics in order to make it look a certain way or not to depict the data so that it supports a decision we have made or will made. We don't put data there to make us look good. We put data there to inform people.
Well, I appreciate that because, you know, sometimes and you know, when you look at the national, people get up and whether they listen to the national news, watch it on TV or get it via an internet site, you know, you have this national news, which in many cases is a cluster of information that some is right, some is wrong. And so having a good site to go to make sense. But how do you communicate with those states around us to make sure that, you know, in the Midwest, we have the right information and maybe get away from that noise that comes out of the, I'll say, the big cities, including Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, good question. One of the things that I rely on are my colleagues in other states. We have a wonderful organization. We're a member of the Association of State and Territorial Health Officers. Yes, I'm the secretary of KDHE, but I'm also the state health officer. And those are actually two separate positions, but I happen to occupy both of them. So I work with my state health officers, both of the adjoining states and really all 53 states and territories. There's some things that are quite common across different states, and there's things that are quite different. On this pandemic, eventually, we're getting to look more alike than different. You know, the coasts were hard hit early on. You know, Alaska and Hawaii, for obvious reasons, lagged behind. But now they've got kind of on fire with the number of cases in those states that were late to receive them. So we've had such great and awful shared experiences, but it's been an excellent group of people to work with. And not to just commiserate and say, ain't it awful, but what's working? What's not working? What do you abandon? What do you change? So I rely heavily on colleagues.
Well, one of the things that I know, you know, if somebody says, boy, I'm not going to wear a mask, I'm not going to do anything, that can change when all of a sudden you have someone you know, either contract or all of a sudden get tested. I know I had that in my case, and I know you communicated that your son was fighting a battle with coronavirus. So it becomes real. It becomes important to make a difference when someone you know is involved. Can you give us an update on your son?
He's doing great. He was one of the early ones to catch it. He lived in the epicenter in Brooklyn, New York. And he called me the day that he knew he was coming down with it. He lost his sense of smell and taste. And believe me, as much as I've fed that now 38-year-old through the years, I don't think he's ever lost his taste before, certainly not his appetite. But he had a rough 15 days where he was self-quarantining. His fiance has an immune deficiency, so they had to be very careful. The most grim thing that went on during that time when he was ill was it parked right down on the street in front of his brownstone apartment was a semi that was refrigerated to haul bodies away from hospitals in the area. So it was down there, and he washed out his window, them coming and loading on bodies from the hospitals in New York City, and the air conditioner thrumming away all the time. And he's looking and saying, well, I have the disease that people are being hauled into that tractor trailer for. So those people that say this isn't a real disease, they need to get out more and read maybe more trusted sources, because it's really bad.
Well, when you see that, and again, in first person, like your son watching that happen, it does become real. And I think if one of the things you mentioned, mask early on when we were talking, your theory on mask, your theory and the theory through the Kansas Health Department on mask, what is that?
Yeah, and it's really not a theory. I know, Gary, a lot of people want to make it a theory, but we've known since the 1500s that masks work. The earliest we saw that regularly used was starting in about 1527 with the bubonic plague in Europe, and we've used them ever since. Masks work. There was, I think, confusion a little bit early on. CDC and others said, don't wear a mask. If you're just Joe Q. Public on the street, you don't need to wear a mask. I think was quite driven by the fact there were not going to be enough masks to, and that anybody, if we open it up to the general public, that hospital healthcare workers, first responders would not have access to the masks they need to do their essential work. And I think those two messages were confused. if there was ever a question about whether masks work, it's been asked and answered many times over. During the 2003-2004 SARS, which was a coronavirus, there was great studies done then that showed that this apartment building that wore them didn't get sick. This apartment over here that didn't wear them got sick. So we know that they work. But people don't like them. You know, I've worn masks for 42 years. When I was deployed in the Middle East, the day I arrived, it was 130 degrees, and one of the things I had to do was put a mask on. And that's the last thing you want to do when it's a hot day like that. So I understand the sentiment behind it. But the question, if they work or not, should that's been asked and answered, masks work.
Let me say this. Is this a way to translate this? If you care about others, you'll wear a mask?
Yeah, I think that's right. It's important for both parties.
All right, we have the time limit here. So my next question is Washington, D.C. How's that worked? Have you guys been able to work okay with the folks out of Washington over the last 5 months?
You mean our federal delegation?
Yeah, yeah.
And
the federal government in general.
Oh, that's a different question.
Yeah, that's a different question. And that's why I said there's a time limit here. But
yeah, okay, I can be quick on this one. Federal government, meaning FEMA and the White House administration, have not been very helpful to us. They shunted all the resources that could have and should have come our direction to the coasts. We're a fairly low population state, but our per capita rate of infection was the same as California, for example. So it's been nothing but a struggle working with those federal sources, and we're still struggling with them. Our federal delegation, most particularly Senator Roberts and Sharice David's representative, have been extremely helpful in terms of giving people wake-up call that we needed some help when things were in short supply, mostly testing and PPE, protective equipment.
So this fall, what do you expect?
Well, you know, we're at the inflection point right now. I'm looking at my graph that's on my wall that I see it during the day and I dream about it at night, is just going up, but I think we're starting to show a little bit of leveling off. I really think that if we, get serious about masks, social distancing, I think we can keep businesses open, and I think that kids can return to school in some measured manner. I think we need a little bit more time for our teachers, administrators, and staff to figure out how to do the engineering changes and schedules and whatnot in the schools. I think it would be a mistake to come back in the classroom too hasty, because there will be outbreaks that will be attributed to schools, and the staff particularly are vulnerable and vulnerable to significant illness from it. So if people would get their act together, I think the prospects are quite good. But this isn't going to go away for a long time.
Dr. Norman, I want to take a quick break here and come back. I want to talk about leadership, your leadership style, because it involves a lot of health issues, but it also involves the military. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some interesting things, some really good news that involve you and the military. So be back with more after this.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond, and those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
Forward Ever, leading in challenging times. Hi, everyone. It's Gary Shorman, second half of our program with Dr. Lee Norman, who is the Kansas Department of Health Secretary, and who's been really the focal point of the health in Kansas. And Dr. Norman, that takes a lot of leadership in the role. You have a great team, a great staff there, but you developed that in the military. And I know you've been a part of that for a long time. And you had some good news earlier this month about you get to continue to serve in that. Has that provided your leadership background in your current position?
Yeah. I've been in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force for 11 years. I went in 1974 and received some training there as a flight surgeon and combat medicine instructor. I got out. It's kind of an unusual story, actually. I was a civilian for 30 years. And then the Kansas Adjutant General recruited me at the age of 61 to come in the military, in the Army this time, So I shipped out to basic training at age 62 and have been serving since. I deployed to the Middle East in 2017 and 18 as a medical commander for the 12 countries. And then when I came back, Governor-elect Kelly and Lieutenant Governor-elect Rogers interviewed me for this one, and here I am. But to that point, I think it's helped us to organize our effort. One of the things I recognized is very much like a battle theater or a deployment, this thing called pandemic. So we organized around lines of effort. And then back to my earlier comments, I really believe in using chain of command well. It not only a lot of great experts, but it helps for them to deliver their leadership skills, and it quite honestly allows me to grow talent further. And we've had a really strong teamwork and team development through that, I think.
Boy, you see that happening on the joint forces, where you're putting 12 countries together, people from different lifestyles, backgrounds, and some of the, I'll say, the health issues involving that certainly is a good lead-in. I don't think there's any good lead-in for a pandemic, but you're well-placed and have done a terrific job of leading our state through the pandemic in the last 5 months. I guess on this end, we appreciate what you're doing. We'll make sure that everybody wears a mask that is listening to this program. And is there any final comments you'd like to make to our listeners out there about surviving the pandemic and COVID-19?
Just really a couple of things. And one is a cautionary note. When I was in the Middle East, we had the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, which was a coronavirus. It didn't peak out until the fourth year. So I hope this one won't be that way, because we don't want to be doing this for 4 years, or eight years in the Middle East. It's still grinding along. I just want it to be understood that this is not about fear, and it's not about fear-mongering. It's just we have a very serious pandemic on our hands. I just really want people to take it seriously and invest, even over the next 28 days, if they really everybody puts pedal to the metal with social distancing, hand hygiene, mask wearing, and the like, we will be in much, much better place than we were if people didn't do that kind of thing.
You know, I would expect nothing less of Kansans. You see the background of Kansas and what Kansans have done, and working together to help each other. And I think that's the message I take from your comments here of helping each other. We can make a difference by doing those things you just discussed. So thanks for being with us on the program today, Dr. Norman. I know you're a busy person. You chiseled out a little time to talk to us on this program. So I appreciate the work. When I see you on TV with the governor talking about healthcare in Kansas, I'm going to pay double attention next time.
Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the invitation. Good luck.
All right. Thanks. Forward Ever. And our guest today, Dr. Lee Norman, the Kansas Department of Health Secretary, has been our guest here. Thanks for listening. The program brought to you by Worth Wealth Management.
Thank you for listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management. Be sure to check back next week for another episode with your host, Gary Shorman. Until then, remember to move forward ever, backward never. Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times is a production of Eagle Communications.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. Long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management. Enhancing lives and strengthening families.